AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Welcome to Strictly Business, Variety's weekly podcast featuring conversations with industry leaders about the business of media and entertainment. I'm Cynthia Littleton, co-editor-in-chief of Variety. Today, my guest is Casey Bloys, chairman and CEO of HBO and Max. Casey is one of the most influential people in entertainment today, and he is also one of the most unassuming. He has a hard and heavily scrutinized job, but he is also unfailingly optimistic and always focused on what HBO does best, make incredible shows. His programming team at HBO has defied the odds and delivered a string of hits of late, from House of the Dragon to The White Lotus to The Last of Us, to Succession, Euphoria, and Barry. Bloys has also been in the thick of the streaming wars as the leader of content for Max, the fledgling streaming sibling of HBO. The platform had a difficult birth as HBO Max in May 2020. It was rechristened Max last month. Max has had plenty of technical challenges, but on Bloys' watch as content chief, it has fielded such top contenders as Hacks, and Just Like That, The Flight Attendant, Love and Death, and more. Bloys addressed the HBO and Max value propositions for consumers and many more topics during our half-hour conversation held on June 7th as part of Variety's TV FYC Fest at the One Hotel in West Hollywood. With the writer strike raging on, Bloys was gracious to honor his long-standing commitment to speak at our event at a time when many executives are laying low. I also appreciated Bloys' honesty in challenging my assessment of Succession Season 1, as you'll hear, and for offering his candid thoughts on AI and its use in entertainment. So get ready, a wide-ranging conversation about HBO and the media business is coming up right after this break.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
And we're back with HBO Chairman and CEO Casey Bloys.
Let's address the elephant in the room. Right now, this is a very trying time for the creative community, given that there was a writer strike going on. There are very difficult contract negotiations happening. We wish every single person in that process well. I don't want to belabor this, but can you give us a sense, like, how are you all feeling right now at this moment, as we're at a crossroads of sorts?
I'm probably not going to say anything that hasn't been said already. As someone who works with writers, works with talent, I would just like us all as an industry to figure it out and for everybody to feel valued and get back to, at least for me, developing and producing great TV. But it's going to take some time, and everybody's got to feel that they got a deal that values them. So I understand that, and I get it, and I hope it doesn't take longer than it has to.
Me too.
Yeah.
We are absolutely in agreement with that. Well, Casey, we thank you very much for hanging in, because we know it's a touchy time, and we do appreciate it. Casey, I was never so happy. We put Casey on the cover of Variety in February. I was never so happy to have an executive on our cover. We had chased this guy for years, and he always said, no, I want to put it on the shows. And we finally persuaded, and it was such a perfect timing, because it was just Last of Us came out. And that one was, I think, a lot of us did not see that coming in terms of we knew it was HBO. We knew it was going to be quality. But in terms of the emotional depth of that show, that must have been, was the response and the execution of what was, video game-based IP, did the execution of the content and the response that it got from the audience, did that surprise you? Was that a pleasant surprise to you?
It didn't surprise me, because obviously I think all of our shows are special, but you never know, even if you think something is the greatest thing you've ever seen, you never know until you put it out in the world. So I was really happy to see the response, and I was happy for Craig and Neil. It was nice to see everybody recognized, the cast and crew and directors. It's what you want to see when you work so hard on a show, God, Craig's been developing that for several years, and so to have it come out and be received like that is a very nice feeling.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I did you sense in the early going, I mean, for me as a viewer, not being familiar at all with the video game, for me as a viewer, I did not expect the depth of the relationship between Pedro Pascal and Bella Ramsey. I mean, it almost became a buddy journey story,
right.
That has many more chapters to go now. But was that something, was that part of the show? Was that something that you was a
part of? That is, I didn't know the video game. I don't play video games. So
that makes two of us.
Yeah. So I am really not a video game person at all. I obviously knew what it was when Craig said, this is what I want to do. I learned about it, but I know that relationship is key to the video game and key, obviously, to the show. And the relationship that Pedro and Bella brought to screen, I think, is really what really touched a lot of people.
Was there any, in the early going of bringing Last of Us to the screen, was there a sense of plotting along with the way the game evolved? It's such a different type of material to adapt. It's not like a novel or it's a more open-ended story on the game side. I'm just curious how you conceptually attack.
So what's funny about it is the success of it, we got a lot of questions about, like, so are you going to do more video games? You know, does this mean
of
that,
course,
you know,
because like Lemmings, you know.
Yeah, and I guess the lesson for me and my two cents for anybody who looks at it and says, we got to go develop a video game, the lesson for me was not develop a video game and it'll be a hit. The lesson for me is get in business with someone like Craig and trust what they want to do. The reason we did it is because after Chernobyl, we had a great experience with Craig, and we said to Craig, mm-hmm. What do you want to do next? And I know from Chernobyl, I know when he sinks his teeth into something, he becomes obsessed, which is what you want from a creator. And I knew whatever he wanted to do, it would be something special. And so he said, I want to do Last of Us. And we were lucky because then Neil, who created the video game.
Neil Druckmann,
went along on that journey with Craig as well. And he directed episodes and wrote episodes. So we were doubly lucky to have him involved. But the lesson is not develop video games. It is be in business with people that you trust and support them in what they want to do and follow their instincts. Mm-hmm. I think, anyway, that's my two cents is if another writer who we like and admire says, I've got to develop this video game. There's nothing else I can do. There's nothing else that will fit my brain but this video game, and I've got to do it. I'd go, okay. But I don't know that I would, and we haven't, scoured video game titles and said, okay, you know, here's what we should do.
Mm-hmm. It was the story of Last of Us that got
me.
I will say it was
Craig. And then, obviously, in my mind, I thought, well, Craig is really into this, and I was the idea of, I know it's not a zombie show, but a post-apocalyptic setting. I thought, well, that could be really interesting to see what Craig would do with that. So I thought the combo could be interesting. But again, the lesson for me is following the creators, not necessarily starting with the IP and then doing that.
Did you do anything in any of the marketing or in any of the outreach or, you know, kind of building buzz for the show? Did you in any way target the video game community?
Oh, yeah. Sony was very helpful.
Right. Sony Pictures Television produced the series. It's based on a PlayStation game.
Right.
Initially.
So they were very helpful. Naughty Dog, which is Neil's company that created the game, was very helpful in terms of getting the word out to the Last of Us fans and video game fans. The Last of Us fan base is very active, very supportive. So that was a nice benefit of doing the show.
Mm-hmm. And from as I have learned from gamers that it is of all types of games that would lend itself because it is such an emotional story that is rooted in that journey.
Yes, their relationship. I think is what sets it apart from other video game titles, I think.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I want to also ask, you have so many shows. We have an embarrassment of riches here, but I have to ask you, I have to ask you about Succession. I mean, truly, first of all, I think the first victory there was really, season one, there was a bit of a slow build, but from about halfway through season one.
Although, wait, let me just say one thing on that.
Okay.
Just want to say one thing. I thought the show was the show from the beginning. I think it took some time for people to understand what it was doing, but it was funny. I saw, you know, I follow the reaction to the show in real time, so I'm going back to the first season, but a lot of people were like, it finally found its voice in the third episode. I'm like, third episode? It used to take shows three seasons to find their voice,
right,
you know?
Right.
So, but I think it was there from the beginning, but... Okay.
Everything is accelerated these days. But what I actually meant was just in terms of the reaction.
Yes.
The show was absolutely there from the very get-go. Of course, we all remember that opening image. We'll never forget Logan Roy. We saw him at his most intimate. But in terms of reaction, and then from about halfway through season one, it did become, in a way, Last of Us also achieved this. Must see. You getting people to tune in on getting me to tune in on a Sunday night at 9, making sure, don't call me, don't, everybody knows I'm watching my show. That's rare these days. I honestly think that is so rare these days that it's fun. It's fun for people that love their show so much. Do you know, when did you know that you were, that you had touched that nerve with Succession? Obviously, you knew the quality was
I following the first season, it really did seem to catch on. Now, remember, when we did it, one of the things, when we shot a pilot, and, you know, remember, there's no IP, you know, there's no video game it's based on, and we purposely didn't go for, you know, Adam McKay was directing, so he had a lot of people who would have come to work with him, but we wanted, I didn't want to push anybody to hire stars or anything, just kind of like whoever you thought the best actor was. So we were going out in the world with a show that was not based on IP and had no giant movie stars attached. So it was, I don't want to say a tough sell because that's not fair to the show, but the fact that it was able to break through, you know, it was a pretty amazing thing. I think it's testament to Jesse's writing and the cast and Mark Mylod. But I would say probably halfway through the season when people kind of understood what it was doing and the rhythms and the mix of comedy and drama, that there was something special there.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have to ask you, have you ever heard from any of the Murdochs about the show?
I have not. I've anecdotally heard, you know, somebody whose cousin's brother knows so-and-so, and
cousin
they
Greg.
Love it, you know, so I have no idea. I don't know.
You haven't gotten any signed notes from Rupert?
I haven't, nothing.
Well, I do know that Jesse Armstrong has absolutely been clear that it is an amalgam of some characters, although there are definitely, having covered the Murdochs for a long time, there are definitely some, and what I just, we all know because we work in the business, I mean, there are some types, some personality types among the corporate roles that they get, that they nail so well. It's incredible. Let me ask you, so fast forwarding to the end, I really think you all have shown incredible discipline in no spinoffs. There are any number of characters, you know, leading characters, supporting characters that we would all want to spend more time with. But I know you feel strongly about...
Well, I guess I would make the same... I would use this to make the same point I made about Craig and The Last of Us. If Jesse said to me, I have got to do a Tom and Greg spinoff. I can't, you know, like, I've just got to. I can't get out of my head, and I have to do it.
The title is there, The Disgusting Brothers.
Yes, exactly. If Jesse wanted to do that, I would follow his lead and say, great. But he, you know, I think it was the right decision because there are some shows that naturally lead themselves. A show like House of the Dragon coming out of Game of Thrones, you know, George's universe is so huge. spans hundreds of years and many families, and there's battles and civil wars and all of that stuff. That kind of lends itself more logically to spinoffs or trying again. This one, I think it's obviously fun to think about the combinations, but if Jesse's not feeling it, I'm not going to go down that road if he's not feeling it.
I think I hear you. I still think incredible discipline. So many other places would have been, you know, Succession, Sydney, or wherever, wherever it might go. When Jesse, I know you talked about, you know, Jesse, when Jesse came to tell you that he felt like season four was the time to end, did you try to persuade him?
I kind of knew that we were, that season four, I knew about Logan. I knew that that was going to happen. And so I think the sense was this was probably it. The only kind of advice I gave to Jesse was like, just, you know, whatever you want to do is what we'll do. Just think about it, because you do have this amazing cast, and it's an amazing, you know, it's lightning in a bottle.
It's quite a company.
Yeah.
That you put
together. So just really, really be sure that it's time to go. And I also knew Jesse is an incredibly thoughtful writer. And I knew he would naturally kind of go through that process of, do I see anything here? Do I not see anything here? And so I knew we would end up in the right place regardless. So, and I know he went back and forth, and I think he wanted to make sure that he wasn't leaving anything on the table. But I trust that he fully felt that that was the right thing. And as I said, when I saw the finale, it was the only way that Succession could end. To me, it was kind of a perfect ending. I think it was, again, if you're following the creator's lead, that's probably a good place, a good place to go.
That is the recurring theme. And since Casey is literally one of the most successful development people of the last 25 years, I think that following...
Listen to the creator.
The writer, yes. Exactly. Yes.
Although you can give them notes, you can push them, you can debate, but ultimately you've got to, you know, follow their lead.
Don't go anywhere. There's more from HBO leader Casey Bloys coming up right after this break.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
And we're back with more from HBO Chairman and CEO Casey Bloys.
Again, in the category of I have to ask you, so much of what was going on with Succession, a little close to real life for Warner Brothers Discovery and all of the different changes.
A little
changes.
Close to the entire media ecosystem.
Very much, much so. Definitely not Warner Brothers Discovery being in a vacuum. But did that ever? Did you all ever reflect on that? Like, wow, this is a little bit of a mirror.
No, it probably would have been too meta if I thought about it too much. But again, I think Jesse and the writers do a ton of research about media. So the reason that it plays feels so real to us is it's really informed by an extraordinary amount of research, talking to experts in media and news, and you know, obviously we've had wealth consultants. It all is meant to feel very real. So they capture it because they work so hard at doing it, at the lingo and the possibilities of a media merger and what could happen and what might happen. So I don't think it makes sense that it would mirror a lot of what's going on in any media company right now, because it is based on actual conversations with people in the business.
I mean, knowing the lead time that they had to produce episodes, the way that they were, it seemed like they were commenting on things that that Variety was reporting about, you know, the previous day. It was so, so spot on. All right, I will not take the whole half an hour to talk about Succession, but I do, I have to ask, were you rooting for any one of the siblings? Were you rooting for a successor?
Well, thank you for asking that, because the one thing I want to make sure, you know, nobody won. None of the siblings won. No, and even Tom didn't win. If anybody won, it's Mattson. And he will go on to screw up his kids like Logan did. You know, so maybe in 25 years, someone can do the Mattson Succession story. But there was no, Tom didn't win, I don't think. Nobody really won, and that was kind of the point. You know, Jesse said at one point, I thought this was a great phrase, Logan was guarding an empty safe. You know, the kids were fighting for this thing, and there's nothing there. You know, there's nothing there. But that said, if anybody should have won, Jerry should have. Jerry should have won. She was the most capable, so she should have won if anybody won.
By the sweat equity measure, for yes. Sure. I just love how she unfired herself. She yes. Just decided, I was unfired. I thought yeah. That was so... And such, again, we could talk for the whole half an hour, but just such great casting. I mean, to give
Excellent.
Her such a meaty role. Let me ask you about, you've made, I mean, I could go, you know, House of the Dragon, White Lotus, Barry, so many. July 12th, Emmy nominations day, should be a very bountiful morning for HBO.
Knock on wood, I'm superstitious.
I won't ask you. I know that's like asking you to pick a favorite child. I would not ask you that. But let me ask you about, though, something that is not in contention for this year's Emmys, because it has just arrived and it has made quite a splash, The Idol.
Yes.
How do you feel about how that show has gotten off?
Obviously, I knew it was going to be controversial. I was not necessarily looking at reviews on that show, but it made it did what I thought it was going to do, was it made a splash. If you think about it, it's been on the air for 3 days, 4 days. There was an op-ed in the New York Times.
I was going to say.
There was another article in the New York Times wondering if it can bring back the erotic thriller. And there was a Wall Street Journal article wondering if Rat Tales were coming back. So that's in 4 days. So, you know, you want shows to be part of the conversation. You want them to provoke. Maybe the Rat Tail one is
that's the one you could lose, right?
Maybe not. But anyway, so it's kind of doing what we kind of expected and thought it was going to do.
You knew going in that it was going to provoke. Is that a metric of sorts, the level of, like, I mean, not only social commentary and social media, but like commentary at the level of the New York Times op-ed?
I mean, we used to say, you want a show to go from the entertainment pages to the opinion page, you know, like you want it to be discussed in all realms. It's certainly something that our shows do, and I like the fact that people have opinions, strong opinions, mm-hmm. positive and negative about a lot of the stuff that we do, because you kind of want to, you know, ultimately it is good for your brand to be out there and people discussing the shows and caring that much about the shows that they do have opinions on who won or whether a rat tail is coming back. I don't know.
A lack of interest is probably the worst thing these days. Well, let's take a hard pivot from this conversation, because I actually do want, I know that this is something that you've been thinking about, something the industry has been thinking about, and something that is an issue right now that is an issue in Hollywood's contract talks, and that is artificial intelligence and its role in the creative process. And I think we can tell by the applause and boo meter here.
Yes, so as you can imagine, I have.
But for anybody that's, you know, any of us at Variety at HBO work in copyright based businesses, work in the world of filling the blank page with words, it's a little scary time. Can you talk at all about, on a high level, how you're thinking about that?
Yeah, I mean, I so the caveat or two things to keep in mind when I say this. One is, remember, I grew up in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, which is a steel town, so I am very, very aware of what happens when a company does not think about the future, is not aware of the future.
That is very serious. Right?
But also, I've been at HBO for 19 years, and I have never tested a pilot to decide whether to pick it up or not. That we just don't use all of the kind of things that other places use. It's just not something we do. Mm-hmm. So my take on AI, I just, the idea that AI would be involved in any sort of development or the creative process in the kinds of shows that I do or we do at HBO, I just don't think that's not something I want to be a part of. So I think if it does become something, and I hope I don't sound like a SEAL executive in the 70s, but I just can't see it, and if it is, I hope to God I'm retired by that point.
There's
now
the quote.
I am sure. Now, that said, I am sure there are very smart and useful ways to use it that smart people are thinking about, but in the creative process, what I'm mostly concerned about, development and working with writers, I don't see it. And for almost, I've been at HBO for 19 years, almost that entire time, people kept coming to us and saying, scripted short form content is the future and you guys got to figure it out. And I kept saying, I don't see it. I don't think so. I don't see it. So I think I was right about that. And I think I'm right about this.
Well, the courage of your convictions has served you really well so far. So,
well, and I guess I should, if a creator came to us and said, I am desperate to use AI in my development process, I guess I would think they were wrong, but, you know, I can't imagine that happening, though. I just can't.
I think it's something that is so, it's so new that we all can't wrap our heads around it, which is like, these are things we've been saying regularly these days that, you know, this technology,
this business. Yeah, that's why I hope I get to retirement before we actually have to deal with this.
Exactly. But it is, you know, the scary part is that it is fed by ingesting other works, which is like that, you know, where the line is, that is going to be the art.
There is so much to
of legal think, scholars.
That's right,
the
exactly.
Generation.
There's so much to. It is so new, and there's so much to figure out. It is a little scary. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you yet another hard pivot here. I want to ask you. All right, there's so much to talk about. We could go on longer, but obviously HBO and the parent company have been through a process of brand iteration for both HBO, for both Max. We don't need to talk over every detail, every step of the way, but what would you like to leave this audience with and the streaming audience with in terms of how you are thinking about Max and how you are thinking about HBO as you are the creative steward of both?
I get asked about it a lot, so this is it's
actually not the first time you've heard this.
So here's the issue. When HBO Max was created, remember, nobody from HBO was involved in that back in the day. So when they put HBO in the...
Two regimes ago,
yes, I've lost count. But when you put HBO in the title, whatever follows it, HBO Max, HBO, whatever you want to say, that becomes HBO. And HBO was not designed to be a brand that took on repeats and reality television, and you know, it was very specifically for our lineup of Sunday night programming, Bill Maher, John Oliver, documentaries, first Pay One movies. It was not designed to represent, as a brand, all of this stuff. It did that during HBO Max. A lot of stuff, you know, I would see things written, it would drive me crazy. Why is FBoy Island on HBO? And I'd go, it's not real, you know. The problem, the challenge was, we had spent 2 years as HBO Max, or 3 years? I'm losing track of time.
I think it was three years.
So we've spent 3 years at HBO Max. People got used to it. I believe we ended up in the right place, which is Max is, I like to think of Max as a little bit like a cable bundle. You know, HBO, in the history of bundling has always been, whether it's in network television was a bundle, the cable bundle obviously was a bundle. The history of HBO was always an add-on to a larger amount of and different.
Right, there was a first step to just even getting in the door.
Yes, yeah. So HBO as a standalone product really only existed for a couple of years with HBO Now, but it is successful when it's part of a larger package. That was what the cable bundle was, and even in the cable bundle, to get to channel 205, you had to flip through a bunch of other channels to get to HBO. So now that people have seen Max, I hope you've noticed at the very top is HBO. So if you sign on and you just want to go to HBO, you can go right there. And in the brand rails, there's HBO, there's HGTV, there's Food Network. So if you, the only experience you want to have is going to HBO, you can do that, just like you had to do in the cable bundle, flip through channels to get there and just live there. But the reality is, most people coming in, and we're seeing more of it now, want to see other things. They don't want to just watch HBO. They want to watch movies. They want to watch library content. They want to watch other things. And for HBO to be healthy, it's got to be a part of a larger ecosystem. And as a matter of fact, at this point for HBO, the average show is getting about 60 to 70% of its viewership from Max.
As opposed to the live linear.
As opposed to the linear.
Mm, that's interesting. So that's significant.
So if we didn't have, I mean, because obviously the, you know, the linear bundle is fraying. If we didn't have that, we would, you know, not be in good shape.
And right.
You know, so this is really about saving, you know, or securing the future of HBO. So now it can live as HBO. It doesn't have to take on, you know, thousands of hours of Discovery content that came on. It can just be what it is, and it doesn't have to be defined by anything else other than what the team at HBO develops and puts on the air. Mm-hmm.
And you have done your job in bringing people to the screen. I mean, again, we could just go down the list. Last of Us, House of the Dragon, The Barry, The White Lotus, I mean, just so many great shows and more on the horizon.
True Detective, which I have seen, and it's very good. So look for that in the fall.
That's awesome. Yeah. Anything else? Any other? We are out of time here. Anything you want to leave us with? Anything we should be watching out for, either on HBO or Max? Anything maybe a little under the radar we should watch out
for? Well, it's not under the radar, but the second season of And Just Like That, June 26th.
I've heard of that show.
yes. Lately, it's been in the news a little bit. And then we have the second season of Winning Time, which is a great show. Thank you. John C. Reilly is so good, so we're excited about that. I don't think we've announced the date yet, but we are going to soon. We've got that. We've got The Gilded Age. We've got, I'm going to go through, we've got Rap Shit coming back. We've got Our Flag Means Death. So we got a bunch of stuff coming up.
Awesome. Casey, thank you so much for your time.
Really
deeply appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to leave us a review at Apple Podcasts and Amazon Music. We love to hear from listeners. Please go to Variety.com and sign up for our free weekly Strictly Business newsletter. And don't forget to tune in next week for another episode of Strictly Business.
Wow.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.